Y'all know Stan's teaching somewhere else tonight. I'm not exactly sure where he is, but he told me. But anyway, we were finishing up the section talking about living before the world. I just want to, I know y'all finished, I just want to revisit the 12th verse of 1 Peter chapter 2. And when you're looking back over that, what is it talking about us as Christians doing? What? We're living before who? And how are we to be acting? I mean, we worried about living before the Gentiles. Is that exactly what it applies to us? No. We're talking about, as Christians, living before the world, how are we to be act? How are we to act before the world?
That's what he's going to talk about in 17.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's going to talk about a little bit in verse 17. But conducting yourselves in a way not to minimize Christ's name, since you're bearing it.
Yeah, when you're in your day-to-day life, whatever it is you do for a living, the places that you go, and let's go ahead and get it modernized a little bit. When you're on Facebook or whatever, the things that you do and the things that you say, who does that impact?
Everybody.
It affects everyone, doesn't it?
It affects pride, Christ's cause.
I mean, it affects, you know, our relationship with Christ. It affects all of us, the things that we do, the things that we say in public. And, you know, public has much more different meanings now. I mean, we have different ways of being public, don't we? Through all the media that we have now, whether you're on everybody's Facebook screen or you're on the TV screen or whatever it is that you're on, it affects all of us. The things that you do, the things that you say, yes, it is a reflection of your relationship with the Lord, and it is a reflection of, you know, all of us in this congregation, you know, us all included. Our actions do have meanings and consequences. About 30 years ago, we had a member here that was in the John Birch Society. I don't know, a lot of people probably don't remember much about that. I know Dick probably does, but it was, you know, a very active group that watchdogged the government and became, you know, pretty radical in some of their views. And we had a member here that was selling Laetril. Do y'all remember? Laetril was an anti-cancer drug, not approved by the FDA. He began selling this stuff, you know, as cancer cure, and the feds basically said, you know, you're going to stop selling that. That's not authorized to sell. And he became extremely belligerent about it, to the point where it was on the news. And it was, you know, I don't care what y'all say, this is a good product, and I'm free to sell it. And, you know, of course, he had to be disciplined for his actions. And it was a big deal. But, you know, that not only was that a reflection of his relationship with Christ, but it was a reflection of the congregation also. So it does make a difference. So living before the Gentiles, and of course, you know, we know at this point Peter is talking with the Jews there in Jerusalem. Living before the world, we would say, what difference does it make how we act and what we do after saying all this?
In Matthew 5, he says, let your light so shine that they can see your good works and glorify your Father's in heaven. So I feel like that's what matters. Like, if we're acting correctly, if they see how we're acting, that, like you said, represents Christ, represents God, and whether good or bad, they get an impression of that. So you can tilt someone's view by your good behavior.
Yeah, and it's ultimately there's a, in the case if we're not doing that, there is a disrespect for authority. You know, there are many ways in which we have people who have authority over us, be it the government. You know, what is being, and that of course is what we're going to be talking about tonight. What does the government mean? It means different things to different people, I think. But when we talk about being in subjection to the government, who are we talking about?
Law of the land.
Law of the land? Okay, on what level?
All levels.
Name them.
From the local police department to the, you know, the FBI, the federal, you know, to the military, to the president. I mean, all levels of government was supposed to be submission. They're supposed to follow anything from speed limit signs to, you know, federal law.
Okay, yeah, and there are many, as you say, there are many levels of federal government. I mean, even down to our city government. I mean, our city governments, you know, sometimes may have rules that, you need to quit smiling at me, he's too cute. might enact laws and ordinances that may affect us more personally on the city, the county, and the state level. That, you know, do impact us maybe, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And sometimes we don't always agree with those things. Right now there's a big sign as you go into River Oaks that says what? Y'all probably seen it if you live there. What does it say? And pay attention to it. Sign about yay big.
I'm going too fast to see it.
Well, you won't do that long in the road. I'm not talking about that sign, Nick. Yeah, there's that one, too. There's one that says that the possession of fireworks in the city of River Oaks is prohibited and subject to a $200 fine. Now, think about that for a minute. Am I shooting the fireworks in the city of River Oaks? No, I'm not. I'm not out there in front of the yard shooting those. It says the possession of. And I think that's a bit restrictive. Now you're talking about inside my house, in my garage, or whatever. You know, say the shooting of fireworks, I think that law is over and above. But, you know, because I don't necessarily agree with the degree of it, does that allow me then to say, okay, well, I can stockpile as many fireworks as I want as long as I don't shoot, because that's what I feel about it? Well, no, I don't. If I'm going to have a stockpile of fireworks, it will probably not be at my home. You know, when the 4th of July rolls around, I get them out there in Brownwood, and that's where I shoot them. And we shoot them all. We don't bring them back. So, you know, that's just a kind of a simple illustration. But as far as our government, we are subject to those at every front. There are other groups of authority that sometimes we don't think about. We talk about our city officials. What about our school officials? We think about being subject to those rules and authority. Some of you who teach certainly do.
Oh, yeah.
But you know, our school boards, they meet. They make rules and regulations for the school district that they are over, in authority over. And, you know, the community has to live with that. And but what if you don't agree with the laws of the schools, the city, the county, the state, the federal government? What course of action do we have? I know this starts sounding like a government class, but that's what we're talking about. What recourse do you have?
The ballot box.
Hmm?
The ballot box.
Okay, there's the ballot box. And you storm the ballot box and take it over, and is that what we do? Well, no, we don't do that. We understand the principles of government. You know, we do live in a democracy. There are ways of changing laws if we don't agree with them. And we're not going to agree with a lot of them from time to time, are we not? You know, our tax dollars go to a lot of things that we don't agree with, correct? So, therefore, we don't pay our taxes? No, we sure thought about it. I got a bad habit when I'm doing my taxes. I usually have a Gettysburg or something like that. I'm not happy about paying my federal taxes sometimes because I don't agree with a lot of things that go on. But, you know, but still, it's my obligation to do that. All right, let's go to verse 13 now, getting into our lesson. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for whose sake? For your sake? For whose sake in verse 13? If you said it, I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
Lord's sake.
Okay, to the Lord's sake. When we submit ourselves to the ordinances of men, we're doing it for the Lord's sake. And that is whether it is a king as supreme or unto governors or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers or for the praise of them that do well. Had a conversation with a police officer today. And just kind of talking about the world that they try to work in now. He said, you know, there's just a lot of problems out there. He said that basically you get dumped on the guys in blue because nobody above will take care of those things. He said, then it comes to us. And they are tasked with the problem of dealing with individuals from time to time who really don't respect law and authority. You know, I was just talking to him about this. I said, you know, when I was a kid, the police officers wore, you know, the dress hat, the round visored hat. When they got out of that car and put that hat on, there was some authority that went with that. You know, now they don't wear it. Of course, Fort Worth, you wear a cowboy hat. You know, that's just Fort Worth. But, you know, there's something about the badge, the belt, the gun, the equipment, the uniform that identifies them as what?
Authority.
It's authority. If they're in the car, there's authority. When you see the lights behind you and they're all these pretty colors, what's it telling you? There's authority behind you. You need to pull over. You need to respect the authority. Now, says Mr. Bear, I pulled you over because you're running 65 and a 35. And I kind of figured probably Armando doesn't do that. But I don't think Armando would start arguing with the police officer. What's going to happen?
You lose every time?
You're going to lose, yeah. Some point it's not going to go your way. You know, I remember telling my children when they started driving, you know, these are kind of the steps you do when you get pulled over. You, yes, sir, do what they ask, get your hands where they can see them, you know, all those things that hopefully make that unpleasant experience go as well as it can go. I know we've all, I don't know if we've all, but every now and then I like watching cops. And I start talking for the guys getting pulled over. It's not my drugs. This is not my purse. It's not my car. You know, it's not. You know, there's no respect for authority in those, and that's what they're showing you. I mean, the guy gets pulled over. Yes, sir. No, sir. No. I'm a speed. You know, no, they don't make the show. It's always the guy who gets slammed to the ground that makes the show, and we know that. But you know, we don't see a respect for authority in when we're looking at this. Verse 15 says, for so it is well of God that with well doing ye may put to silence what?
Ignorance and foolishness.
Okay, the ignorance and foolishness of men. So why are we going to respect the authority? First of all, because what?
God's word's sake.
Okay, and then what's going to be the outcome of this? Who are these ignorant and foolish men we're talking about here?
Some of those men are people looking to find a reason to put down the church, put down Christ, so they can point at you and say, oh, look, he claims he's a Christian, but there he is, you know, being thrown to the ground by the cops because he's arguing with authority. Or You know, there he claims to be a Christian, but there he is doing 65 and 35. You know, so they're looking for reasons to put down Christ, looking for reasons to put down the church. And if you give them that reason, they're going to use it.
Okay, but I thought we were supposed to respect these people. Are we supposed to respect them?
I don't think foolish men is referring to the authority there.
Well,
no, that's not saying. It's the man seeing you disrespect the authority is what I'm talking about.
But it can be. You know, how we act and how we react to those around us, whether they be the ones in authority or how we're acting in public. I mean, when we're in public, are there not rules and regulations that mandate how we are to act? Whether, you know, it's just in public, it might be at the mall. Does anybody go to the mall anymore? I don't know. Anyway, it might be at the mall, might be out to eat, might be in City Park. It might be in a lot of places that we might be out in public. And how we act in those places is a reflection. As Christians, it is a reflection of our relationship with the Lord and, you know, this body as a whole. You know, it does affect people. And if you're out there acting in a riotous and unruly manner, is that not a reflection of those things? Now, this week, I think we've all seen a pretty good example of these principles not being carried out. Monday in Charlottesville, Virginia, we saw activity there that I think anyone who's honest can agree that we saw lawlessness all the way around, did we not? I think that you probably have some individuals in the mix that may have had maybe not a violent motive, that may have got caught up in that, but by and large, what we were seeing on the screen were people all the way around acting riotous, being very aggressive. What is freedom of speech? Do we have freedom of speech in this country? Yeah. Until what?
Until the final part. On both sides of
the fight. You hear it on somebody else's.
Well, yeah. When you start pressing your beliefs, when you start violating someone else's rights at those times, then that goes away, doesn't it? And we have an example here of when you have people who may have some good motives somewhere in there that take those motives and this liberty that we have, and this is liberty that they had in the first century too, to some degree, to be able to speak, to be able to meet. You know, some of these principles that our government was founded on didn't just come by our own ideas. They come from where our culture came from in the beginning. And they had the ability to worship, to speak, to have some liberties. And I think what we saw Monday was people who have some liberty, have liberty to be able to express their ideas and their beliefs, take those to a step further where they start violating the rights of those around them and destruction of property. None of us have the right to destruct someone else's property, be it yours, mine, the government, whatever level. We can't go in and do that. You know, I think hitting each other with clubs and spraying each other with mace and holding aerosol cans with lighters in front of them, I don't think anything in there is about my freedom of speech anymore. It's about how I can impress my views, whatever they are, on someone else. And if we continue to read in here, verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as servants to God. You know, whatever your liberties, whatever our liberties are, they pretty much really stop at the end of our nose, don't they? You know, I have a lot of liberties as an individual until I start to impress those upon you. We're not talking about scriptural matters here. We're talking about things that are right and things that are wrong. And we can't use our liberties
be it in civil matters, you know, to use them for malicious purposes. And I think that's what he's talking about here. We've got to respect authority. We've got to respect the government, those who have power over us. Yeah, Frank.
And it's, Stan talked about connecting the verse, you know, rendering unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Ultimately, and what the entire Bible was trying to get us to understand is those are still things in the world that will fade and that don't matter. And it's even the same idea of Romans 14. It's, you know, what's more important, the love of your brother or you eating that food? That's okay to eat, but what's more important? What are you going to put first? And you know, that's a little bit of what he's talking about. You know, submit to authority, because even if it's painful or even if you don't like it, it doesn't matter, because it's painful for this world. And it's better to endure some discomfort or whatever it may be in this world than to possibly voice that discomfort and lose the cause of Christ for someone that you may have gained.
Yeah, you may be right, but you may lose what you're trying to accomplish by it. It's not always important that we are right in every set of circumstances, is it? Sometimes we feel like we get wronged. Well, isn't it better to be wronged, what Brandon is saying, than it is to be right and lose your influence? How you do it? You know, when we shrink this down, you know, here into the level that we're dealing with in here tonight, though, I mean, authority is something that we all live with. It's something that we're all subject to. There's not a one of us, no matter what our position is in the world that we occupy, the space that we occupy, that isn't in submission to somebody and something, because we're all subject to the Lord. You know, from whatever, you know, whether you're a parent, you have authority. And we'll be getting in chapter 3 into also talking about authority with families, husbands, wives. And do we not realize that, you know, the husband and wife, those are positions of authority, aren't they? Who does the husband have authority over?
His wife and his family.
And who's the wife have authority over? And there's some authority over the husband's body, and
yeah,
you know, and the children, the household. I mean, there's going to be, I mean, even little Tex here, he's subject to authority. I get to call him Tex. If you name somebody Tex, you got to call him that now. That's just the way it is. But whether he realizes it yet or not, we got some more back there in the back being very quiet. They're subject to authority, whether they realize it or not. When they become a little older, they'll start seeing that. But they're subject to that. But mom and dad are subject to authority, aren't they? And they're, you know, they're subject to the civil laws. They're subject to, you know, all subject to Christ. And we all have to answer to somebody at whatever level we are. The President of the United States, who does he answer to?
People.
He answers to the people, and he's going to answer to God. Every president is going to answer to God for his actions. And yes, subject to the people. First Tuesday of November, every 4 years, he's subject to the people. And that's the way our government is set up, and until now, it still works that way. And but he is as subject to people as we are on different levels. But all of us are going to be subject to somebody at some point. You know, in my job, I have authority over a lot of money and a lot of people. But the owner of the company is the authority over that, and I have to answer to him for the money I spend, how I allocate the people, how I get the job done. You know, even though I may be directing a lot of things here, I'm still subject to him. And what's he subject to? He's subject to laws. He's subject to, you know, making things work. And, you know, even though I don't always agree with what he wants me to do or how he wants me to carry it out, you know, I heard a saying one time, said, you know, the boss may not always be right, but he's always the boss. Well, that's true. That is the truth. If you've ever been in the military, you military guys, did you always agree with what your NCOs or officers told you to do? Dick, did you always agree with what you were told to do?
Not really.
Not really, but you did it, right? Would there not be consequences if you didn't? Yeah, it's everybody's going to be subject to somebody, and even if you've got 5 stars on you, you're still subject to somebody. Just ask General MacArthur, right? Didn't carry it out, did he? President Truman fired him. Sent him packing. So it doesn't matter how many stars you wear, how many stripes you have, and I'm using that figuratively now, you're going to be subject to someone. All right, let's looking at our questions. Recognizing our responsibility to submit to civil law, is there a limit to this responsibility?
When it goes against God's law.
Okay, when it goes against God's law, you know, we can kind of analyze that and break that down. I don't know that there are a lot of laws that prohibit us from doing things that coincide with God's law, but are there not some things that our laws permit and promote that don't agree with God's laws? And how do we handle those things? Give me an example.
Gay marriage.
Do what?
Gay marriage. What
I don't understand that concept. What?
I don't.
I'm sorry for doing that to you. I had a guy say that one day. I said, I don't understand what you're saying. He said, well, you know, gay marriage. I said, but you're talking about a concept that doesn't exist. You know, and so we got into a long discussion about that. But okay, you're having to fill out the marriage license. That's your job. Two guys walk in and they want a marriage license. What do you do?
I mean, it can be a matter of conscience where someone wouldn't feel comfortable and then they wouldn't, you know, then they shouldn't. And some people could say that it goes beyond a matter of conscience where it is right or wrong. And I mean, that's a tricky one, because you could look at it like you said, it's a civil union that doesn't really exist. So if it's the law of the land, you're not necessarily perpetuating it. It already exists, and it's just money, and spiritually it is of no consequence. However, you could feel wrong for not standing up to it. You know, you could argue it wouldn't really accomplish anything. That's when you can go down a rabbit hole real quick on things like that. And that's why hypotheticals are a little...
I think Texas law has changed very recently where you're not mandated, where you have to be the one who fills that out. Someone else who doesn't have a problem with it can. You're not going to be forced to. I'm going to fire you if you don't do it. I think that they have relaxed that to some degree. But, yeah, we don't agree with that. More importantly than us not agreeing with it, the Lord doesn't agree with it. And, you know, but our laws do. Divorce. I mean, if we're talking about making unions, breaking unions, there are all the laws of the land that deal with divorce, you know, are they applicable to us? Well, yeah, they're applicable to us. We don't believe in divorce, but there are still laws that mandate how that's carried out. You know, where you define yourself in those shoes unwillingly, you would be subject to those laws. Yes.
At the same time, just because a law man might see yourself as legally separated, legal divorce from your spouse, if you marry for the reason outside of Matthew 19, then by God's law, you're still subject to that. And sure, by legal law, you can get married, but you must hold ourselves to higher law and not be married again.
And that's a perfect example of how God's law supersedes man's law. You know, well, man's law says I can, state of Texas says I can marry this individual, but God's law says I can't, because I am bound to this one. And we can't supersede those things just based upon the law of the land okaying it and God's law not. It doesn't. State of Texas, in all its glory, does not overrule the Lord. You know, you can can be as much of a states person as you want to be. We have to recognize that. All right, explain how liberty can use as a cloak for vice. First of all, what is liberty? We hear that word a lot. What is liberty?
Freedom.
Okay. And, you know, it can come in very many different forms. It can be, you know, we have liberties as Christians. We have liberties as citizens of the United States. We have liberties that we have because we're a member of a family. You know, these are things that are granted to us by the position that we have, be it a citizen, a family member, a member of maybe, you know, some secular organization, some group. If you're a member at the workout club over here, you have liberty to go in there and exercise and do things that are granted because you're a member of that organization. Well, liberties, though, are fine and good until you do what?
Be irresponsible with them.
Okay, be irresponsible with them. We have a lot of liberties that are granted to us by our government, by, you know, that as long as we live within the laws on the highway out here, and we have liberty to come and go as we please, and we can do that. However, if we choose to drive 65 in River Oaks, how far does our liberty go at that point?
Not very far.
Well, no, now we've affected the other people on the road. It's not so much just about breaking the law. It's about now I'm impacting those around me. If I'm going 65 on a 35, I'm going to impact somebody around me some way, somehow, or somebody's property. You know, yes.
Liz Moore has a good story that really illustrates the idea of liberty. He had gone on a field trip or such to the Philippines, India, somewhere, and encountered the whole thing of food offered to idols. He knows, and there is this courtyard area that was used for vendors to sell food to those who are coming to be a tourist, etc. Then there's the inner area of this temple, like Hindu temple or whatever, that had food that was meant to have the believers of whatever religion take and offer to the idols. Well, Lewis was saying, I know it myself, this is just food. I have the liberty to eat this food, not worry about anything. But where liberty ends also, or should be considered, is what about others? So what about the Christian who is weak, who is new? And he sees me eating this food offered to idols and coming out of this religion, what if that messes with his faith? Same thing with us today is, sure, we have the liberty to go to certain restaurants, like, say, Chili's. You know, it's called Chili's Restaurant and Bar. There are those who, for their own conscience, say, I refuse to go to a restaurant that has a bar in the name. While we say, okay, I can go there, and I have the freedom, liberty, whatever, that doesn't mean that I should try to make them go. I shouldn't try to tempt them to go. I shouldn't try to go and make it visible to them that, hey, I'm going to this place that messes with your conscience. That's where our liberties end, is when they mess with the faith of others.
Yeah, and that's, Brandon's talking about earlier, that's exactly what Romans 14 is about. It's not about everything that got turned into. That's what it's about. You know, and that's, when that controversy came up 20 years ago, that was the wisest way of dealing with it, was in talking with some individuals that went straight to what is it talking about, not what is it not talking about. Once you explain what Scripture is talking about, then you can deal with what it isn't. You know, let's dwell on what it's about. And Romans 14 does deal with liberties that we have as Christians. Yes, Brandon?
Liberty always has a positive connotation of freedom, and it's a good thing to employ and practice and enjoy. It's, you know, a more positive connotation of action. And so in verse 16, that's the contrast between liberty and cloak, because you're hiding it. So you're using something that's good to perpetuate something that's earthly and in fact unlawful. And so, you know, when we're talking about the liberties in Christ and all those things, don't use that same concept. And even the liberties that you are given in your government, don't use that for things that are unlawful. And you can even apply it to things that may be lawful like we talked about, divorce or marriage, that aren't lawful in God's eyes.
Yeah, and I think that's, again, I think that's what we saw Monday, was liberties that were used as a cloak for maliciousness on everybody involved there. You know, if you felt strongly about either stance that those individuals felt about Monday, we'll, wherever you are on that, if you got out there and you begin to write and demonstrate and become, you know, lawless, I mean, that's what we saw was lawlessness. You know, whether the things are right or wrong, if you're acting in that manner, you become this cloak of maliciousness. You know, a few of us remember the 60s. Some of you don't. You've read about them. But, you know, it was demonstrating all the time. And how much good really did we see in those demonstrations? Nick, you remember watching the TV and they're clubbing each other's heads and turning fire hoses on each other and sicking dogs on each other? And
yeah, that was the first riot. They had lots of riots.
Yeah.
That was one of the first,
yeah. Yeah, and they burned businesses and homes and people died. And it was awful. You know, and those are not the mechanisms that we use for change. They don't bring about a positive change. And I don't, what I saw Monday, and I hate to keep going back to it, but it's fresh in our minds, and it's illustrating some things that we're reading about here. I didn't see positive anything. There was no positive influence for any good that came out of that. You know, if you don't agree with what you're seeing there, then you make appeals, you go through the government, you do the things that you're supposed to be doing in a right manner. And if you don't agree with what's fixing to happen, you know, barricading yourself in front of it and throwing punches at the other people is not going to accomplish what you want to accomplish. Somebody's going to get hurt or killed. And it did happen. Yeah, Dick?
Yeah, and how a liberty can be used as a cloak of lies. I'm free that I want what I want to do rather than what God wants, you know. And so we have liberty as children of God with a guideline doing God's will. And as a cloak for vice is, well, the example that probably heard many times before anyway, like a locomotive, they have that track to follow. You give it liberty, you get off that track, it doesn't go very far.
No.
And so we have to have the guidelines on our liberty. And we have a track.
Yeah, we have a track, and we've all seen the train wreck. Sometimes I feel like I've been the train wreck. But as long as I stay on track within those guidelines, I'm going to run a whole lot smoother and a whole lot quicker. But
be holy as I am holy, God says.
Do what?
Be holy as I am holy, God says. The scripture says. As long as we stay that way, is it what I'm doing that holy? Yeah, well, no, it's not. Well, then we get back on it.
No, we need to change that. And in closing statements here, you know, we need to be an influence for good. That's why we do our jobs. We do our jobs well. We exhibit character and honesty in our dealings with our brethren here. We're to do those same things. You know, we're not always going to agree with each other on everything that we do. And I'm not talking about things that are scriptural, you know, doctrinal matters. But I'm talking about in our day-to-day dealings with each other. How we deal with each other affects our influence with each other. We, if we act harshly towards our brethren, how influential will we be with each other? I mean, and it's something that we all, no matter what our position in the Lord's body is, it's something we've got to keep in mind. Whether it's here or it's out in the world, how we deal with each other is going to affect our influence and our ability to preach the God's word and to be that positive influence in that group, whichever, whatever the group may be. School, home, family, whatever. You preach it here and you don't live it, you're not going to be much of a positive influence. So, you know, example of a brother who didn't agree with things that happened in the school district, and they go to the school district and they make a big fuss and fight about what's going on there, and it destroys influence. You know, how are we going to go out and teach any of these people when we've gone out there and really showed our character? You know, oh, well, you know, don't pay any attention to them, but this is how they really act. You know, I've had to deal with the guy here in River Oaks in the past that was pretty high up in one of the denominations here, and his character had some serious flaws to it in dealing with it that came out. And how do you become still be influential in the congregation that you are a member of, but you act like this? You know, and we have to be careful about that in the world, or even here also. So, all right, well, Stan will be back next week, and we'll start talking about the submission to masters. And I don't know any of us who live under the subject of a king at this point, or any of us who may live under the subject of in a master and slave relationship, but those will be applied to how we live today. We might feel like it sometimes, but then we'll get into the third chapter. We'll have lots of fun.